father always says I'm conceited, but I'm not. I'm merely vain. I haven't had many people tell me I was pretty, except for a boy at school who said I looked so cute when I smiled. Yesterday, Peter paid me a true compliment, and just for fun, I'll give you a rough idea of our conversation. Peter often says, "Smile!" I thought it was strange, so yesterday I asked him, "Why do you always want me to smile?" "Because you get dimples in your cheeks. How do you do that?" "I was born with them. There's also one in my chin. It's the only mark of beauty I possess." "No, no, that's not true." "Yes, it is. I know I'm not beautiful. I never have been, and I never will be." "I don't agree. I think you're pretty." "I am not." "I say you are, and you'll have to take my word for it." So, of course, I then said the same about him. Yours, Anne M. Frank. Wednesday, March 29th, 1944. Dearest Kitty, Mr. Bolkestein, the cabinet minister, speaking on the Dutch broadcast from London, said that after the war, a collection would be made of diaries and letters dealing with the war. Of course, everyone pounced on my diary. Just imagine how interesting it would be if I were to publish a novel about the secret annex. The title alone would make people think it was a detective story. Seriously, though, 10 years after the war, people would find it very amusing to read how we lived, what we ate, and what we talked about as Jews in hiding. Although I tell you a great deal about our lives, you still know very little about us. How frightened the women are during air raids. Last Sunday, for instance, when 350 British planes dropped 550 tons of bombs on Imude, so that the houses trembled like blades of grass in the wind. Or how many epidemics are raging here. You know nothing of these matters, and it would take me all day to describe everything down to the last detail. People have to stand in line to buy vegetables and all kinds of goods. Doctors can't visit their patients, since their cars and bikes are stolen the moment they turn their backs. Burglaries and thefts are so common that you ask yourself what suddenly gotten into the Dutch to make them so light-fingered. Little children, 8- and 11-year-olds, smash the windows of people's homes and steal whatever they can lay their hands on. People don't dare leave the house for even 5 minutes, since they're liable to come back and find all their belongings gone. Every day, the newspapers are filled with reward notices for the return of stolen typewriters, Persian rugs, electric clocks, fabrics, etc. The electric clocks on street corners are dismantled. Public phones are stripped down to the last wire. Morale among the Dutch can't be good. Everyone's hungry. Except for the ersatz coffee, a week's food ration doesn't last 2 days. The invasion's long in coming. The men are being shipped off to Germany. The children are sick or undernourished. Everyone's wearing worn-out clothes and run-down shoes. A new sole costs 7.5 guilders on the black market. Besides, few shoemakers will do repairs, or if they do, you have to wait 4 months for your shoes, which might very well have disappeared in the meantime. One good thing has come out of this. As the food gets worse and the decrees more severe, the acts of sabotage against the authorities are increasing. The ration board, the police, the officials, they're all either helping their fellow citizens or denouncing them and sending them off to prison. Fortunately, only a small percentage of Dutch people are on the wrong side. Yours, Anne. Friday, March 31st, 1944. Dearest Kitty, just imagine, it's still fairly cold, and yet most people have been without coal for nearly a month. Sounds awful, doesn't it? There's a general mood of optimism about the Russian front, because that's going great guns. I don't often write about the political situation, but I must tell you where the Russians are at the moment. They've reached the Polish border and the Prut River in Romania. They're close to Odessa, and they've surrounded Ternopil. Every night we're expecting an extra communique from Stalin. They're firing off so many salutes in Moscow, the city must be rumbling and shaking all day long. Whether they like to pretend the fighting's nearby or they simply don't have any other way to express their joy, I don't know. Hungary has been occupied by German troops. There are still 1 million Jews living there. They, too, are doomed. Nothing special is happening here. Today is Mr. Van Dan's birthday. He received 2 packets of tobacco, 1 serving of coffee, which his wife had managed to save, lemon punch from Mr. Kugler, sardines from Meep, eau de cologne from us, lilacs, tulips, and last but not least, a cake with raspberry filling, slightly gluey because of the poor quality of the flour and the lack of butter, but delicious anyway. All that talk about Peter and me has died down a bit. He's coming to pick me up tonight. Pretty nice of him, don't you think, since he hates doing it. We're very good friends. We spend a lot of time together and talk about every imaginable subject. It's so nice not having to hold back when we come to a delicate topic, the way I would with other boys. For example, we were talking about blood, and somehow the conversation turned to menstruation, etc. He thinks we women are quite tough to be able to withstand the loss of blood, and that I am too. I wonder why. My life here has gotten better, much better. God has not forsaken me, and he never will. Yours, Anne M. Frank. Saturday, April 1st, 1944. My dearest Kitty, and yet everything is still so difficult. You do know what I mean, don't you? I long so much for him to kiss me, but that kiss is taking its own sweet time. Does he still think of me as a friend? Don't I mean anything more? You and I both know that I'm strong, that I can carry most burdens alone. I've never been used to sharing my worries with anyone, and I've never clung to a mother, but I'd love to lay my head on his shoulder and just sit there quietly. I simply can't forget that dream of Peter's cheek when everything was so good. Does he have the same longing? Is he just too shy to say he loves me? Why does he want me near him so much? Oh, why doesn't he say something? I've got to stop. I've got to be calm. I'll try to be strong again, and if I'm patient, the rest will follow. But, and this is the worst part, I seem to be chasing him. I'm always the one who has to go upstairs. He never comes to me. But that's because of the rooms, and he understands why I object. Oh, I'm sure he understands more than I think. Yours, Anne M. Frank.